God is good. You go to Psalm 1:1, and I want to start something today. I'm not starting, I'm continuing. I'm going to talk to you about tapping the resources of heaven today. And this goes along with our being healthy relationships, health and wealth. By the way, I heard good reports about Danny and Jordan and how much fun they were at the meeting on Friday night. They said the couples had a lot of fun. That's and so just nice. They were singing their praises, how fun it was. It was a good? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Good. Good to have fun together. Good to have fellowship. Amen. Praise God. So what we're doing is in order to meet John 3, 3 John 2, in order to have health, in order to obtain your wealth, prosperity, which is more than just finances, but it is including finances, in order to have healthy relationships, we've gone back to the baselines. And we're talking about the three baselines. Right now we're talking about faith. And so I can't get off of this until the Lord tells me to, so we're going to go at it again. We know the formula. On this journey of enriching our faith, we know the formula. Faith is in the heart and in the mouth, right? Yes. That applies during worship as well. That's on my heart today. So we know the execution. Do we know the execution? Do we know how to execute faith? We know that you see the word. We know that you say and you act, right? We know that according to Mark 11:23, that you speak a command, amen, which shows your authority, and then you speak boldly, and then you speak to set a systematic discourse. So that's how you execute. In the name of Jesus, I speak to that mountain.
Yep.
See, it's authoritative.
Right.
And then you set the course of where you want that thing to go, like out.
Yeah.
Right? Or if it's a mountain of finances, in. Whatever it may be. Amen. So we've been studying that. And we've looked at several ways that we enrich our faith. We get an understanding of the power of God that's in us. We get an understanding of how praying in the Spirit will enrich your spirit and bring on power as well. And then we've understood this for a long time, that the promises, getting the promises on the inside of us change our lives. You get a revelation of the promises, and you get a revelation of the presence of God. All of these things, the presence, the promise, the power, the praise, all of these things will enhance and enrich your faith. What are you doing when you are praising and worshiping? You're acting in faith. You are raising your hands and singing to and declaring to somebody you can't see. But you're doing it in faith because you know that He is there. He is real. And He will manifest in this realm. Amen. So, and then we understand that a huge part of enriching our faith is meditation. And so let's look at that. You're there at Psalm 1:1. That's where I told you to go. Psalm 1:1. I want to look at this verse. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So now, just to be clear for the new person, to meditate means to talk to yourself.
Okay.
It means to mutter, to ponder, to reflect. It's an inward and an outward conversation. You study or you chew over things. In this case, you're studying and chewing the word. You're looking at the word and you're saying, now this is mine.
Yeah.
God is able to provide every blessing in abundance. That's mine. And you meditate. Okay, so he will do it. He said he would do it. Well, who did he say he would do it to? Well, he said he would do it to the giver. But see, and you think about it and you work with it. Whatever it's saying here, you're meditating on that. And so, you know, you may say, you know, I just don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. Well, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. If you've ever been offended, you know how to meditate. Everybody's smiling. Praise the Lord. See, when you're worried or offended, you constantly think about what could happen or what did happen or speculate about the results of what happened. And you're working on all that while you're blow drying your hair, combing your hair. Y'all can tell I've been there. I have done that too. But I'm happy to report it's getting out of my bathroom. Amen. Am I getting ready? And my thoughts, because I'm not going to go there.
Right.
That's why, for me, Pastor Nancy's real important because she'll really work on helping you get your thought life right.
Amen.
Thank you for Pastor Nancy. Lord, we appreciate her. And so, you know, but if you've done that, you know, what happens then is this constant musing will affect your body. It'll affect your emotions. But see, if you muse over the promises and the goodness of God, what's true, what's honest, what's just, what's pure, what's of a good report, what's lovely, and you start thinking on those things, then things change. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you're going to think offended thoughts, you're going to be offended. If you're going to think leaving thoughts, you're going to work. You'll be headed to the door. If whatever you're thinking, if you're thinking, no, I'm pressing in, I'm going to do this, then you're going to press in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking you're going to do what's right, do it right because it's right, then you will.
Amen.
Amen. So these are the things that we're looking at. Now notice it said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. So what is the law of the Lord? What would that be for us? Well, it's the word. It's the word of God. But there are laws in the word. Not legalism. There are laws in the word, just like there's the law of gravity. And the laws in, according to the Bible, according to what God has set up, there's the law of faith, the law of love, the law of the spirit of life, and the law of sowing and reaping. So those are the things that we would meditate on. Working on love, working on faith, working on sowing and reaping. Not just finances, sowing and reaping. What you say, what you do, how you behave, sowing and reaping. The Bible says don't grow weary of doing good because you will reap. So it's about action. It's about loving. It's about what you're saying. So all of those laws, those four laws, are very important. And every Christian is responsible for tapping into the power of God in those areas in order to live above the corruption of this world.
Mm-hmm.
That we're responsible for that. Church, whatever you hear, you're responsible for. I mean, really hear.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because some people only hear the parable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you got it and you got the revelation, you're responsible for it.
Right.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So you can see in the Psalms now, you can see David that he loved God's word and he meditated, you know, Psalm 1, I was just reading that. He meditated and it overflowed from him in the form of songs. And Psalm 104:33 says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May my meditation be sweet. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days, I'll be held in your arms. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will
sing of goodness of God.
Now, That's not hard to do before you go to bed. You could sing those very lines. Maybe you haven't, don't sense anything else coming up through there, but you know that song. He could do that.
Yeah.
Or I bet people in here that are my age can sing a little bit of How Great Thou Art.
Oh, yeah.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. See something coming up out of there. That's what David was doing. Well, do you know that's meditation?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's meditation.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. I love that. So I want to give you just a few things to meditate on today, some things that you can think about. And one of the things I want to say to you here at church is that the spirit of faith is not fragile.
Yeah.
It's not fragile. Anybody remember Patsy Cline?
Yeah.
How many have never heard that name? Look at that. One person. Now, she had this great voice. But she sang a song called I Fall to Pieces. And you could really easily pick up on that melody and sing it, but don't.
Right.
And don't be singing crazy either.
Yeah.
Willie wrote it, she sang it.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, those are easy things to sing along with, but the one we sang before would be a better meditation. But I want to tell you something. I do not fall to pieces.
Right.
No. Look at somebody and say, I do not fall to pieces. Now, I want to tell you a little secret that I know about Miss Patsy. Do y'all want to know?
Yeah.
So, you know, she had a tragic ending to her life. But, you know, she did go to heaven because a very, very dear friend of mine used to go travel with her and was sitting with her on the plane and ministered to her. You probably know who that person is. She used to go to church here and she moved away to Montana. Yeah. Uh-huh. So they were on their way to a gig. She witnessed her. So I'm grateful for that. But back to the subject here. Jesus will take the victim out of your voice and replace it with a voice of victory. Sounds like a TV show or maybe a magazine. Praise the Lord. That's what he's going to do. He'll put victory in your voice. You know, we can be such crybabies sometimes. We can. But then if you're starting to be a crybaby and have that moment, think about the Apostle Paul. He succeeded through the worst circumstances. He was perplexed, but he did not despair, the Bible says. We may get knocked down, but we do not get knocked out. Paul was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, whipped, spent the night out in deep water, dealt with robbers. He was hungry, he was thirsty, he was cold, he was imprisoned. And listen, when he was in prison, he wasn't in something like you see nowadays. He was standing waist deep in the sewer.
Yeah.
Writing the New Testament.
Wow.
He had 40 people that swore they would not eat until they killed him. Now, nobody in here is suffering that. Everybody that wants to kill you is eating, let me tell you that. I'm kidding. Praise the Lord. But he didn't, quote, fall to pieces.
Right.
He had the same spirit of faith that David had. You know, David had a son who died, you remember? He got up and he changed his clothes. He prayed that the son wouldn't die. He stayed with it. But when the son died, he got up, he washed his face, he changed his clothes, and he went to the temple and worshiped the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's just hard. No, that's just faith. He knew where his son was. He knew that God had his son. And then what happened? God restored him and he gave birth to the wisest man that has ever lived on the earth, Solomon.
Yeah.
So God brought restoration. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But David didn't sit around and cry for the next 20 years about it. And
no.
He did not. That baby gained. And he celebrated that, and then by doing that, he did. So when someone leaves your life or goes to heaven, I'll say that, when they go to heaven, think about their gain and not your loss.
Amen. That's good.
You have to straighten yourself up.
Yep.
Say, nope, their gain, they're in a better place, I'll see them soon.
Yep.
That's a side note. So put your faith in God and not in people. Parents, let me give you some advice. This is what you should teach your kids. There is a God, and I'm not him. There's a God, and I'm not him. Teach them faith. Teach them to look toward God. Teach them this. It's so important. There's a God, and I'm not him. Amen. Put your faith in God, not in mom and dad, not in people. Mom and dad will be there. There are people. Actually, there's some people in life you can trust. But you can trust God more. God is able to keep you from falling. Jude 24. God is able to assist or relieve you when you cry out to him in testing. Hebrews 2:18. God is able to deliver you from the fiery furnace. Daniel 3:17. God is able to perform what he promised. Romans 4:21. God is able to make all grace abound to givers. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Praise the Lord. God is able. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Yeah.
Amen.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I'm persuaded he can do it. Are you persuaded?
Yes, I am.
I'm persuaded of that. Amen. So, look, church, the door to the supernatural hangs on two hinges. Believing and speaking. So what would do us good in our medication, our meditation, the word is medication.
Yes, it is.
Maybe that wasn't a mess up. Is I know who I believe, and I'm persuaded he's going to do it. I'm persuaded he's done it. Lord, I am persuaded. Lord, you will take care of this. I commit this to you. You will deal with it. You'll deal with this person.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Amen. When there's a situation, just do this. Just arrange a meeting between the mountain and God. Just arrange a meeting. Mr. Toomer, meet Jehovah Rapha. Mr. Lack, meet Jehovah Jireh. Open the door. It's on two hinges there. Faith in God. Open that door. Here you go.
That's right.
Commit it to the Lord.
Yeah.
Disease, meet Jesus the healer.
Amen.
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 Chaos, meet shalom.
Yeah.
That's it. Just arrange a meeting.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Introduce the problem to God. Open the door to God's ability. Talking about ability. Here's something that we could actually meditate on. Jesus has a divine antibody in his blood. Okay, we're going to meditate on this, okay? Walk with me through it. He has a divine antibody in his blood that overcomes sin and the whole curse. All that the curse brings, Jesus' blood has a divine antibody. Now, an antibody is a protein made by the body that latches onto foreign bacteria and viruses to make them ineffective. You all know this stuff. Okay. So, each antibody is designed to target and to bind that particular opponent. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
I feel like I should say this again. Let's do it again. Jesus has the divine antibody in his blood that overcomes sin and the whole curse, everything that's in the curse. It's our duty to have faith in that blood, and in that blood with these antibodies, what we're talking about here then. Okay, an antibody is a protein made by the body that latches onto foreign bacteria or viruses to make them ineffective. So each antibody is designed to target and to bind a particular opponent. Effector B cells clear the infection. And once cleared, the cell persists as memory cells that can survive for years or a lifetime. Now I was meditating on that. And I got to thinking about, I've heard a couple of people kind of go after this, but I'm gonna take one shot at it and you can do what you want to. What has God healed you of? Because that anointing's still in there. Yeah. Just think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, so get this. There are people who've overcome viruses and they've given their plasma to other people and that person gets healed.
Yeah.
Okay? You got that? Okay. Jesus carried his blood through every temptation, every test, and came through victorious. Did he? So there's sanctifying power, there's cleansing power, there's healing power in his blood, there's victorious power in his blood. And so in all of our mess, all of our pride, all of our rebellion, sickness, depression, there is power to overcome.
Yeah.
And you can even plead the blood over your emotions.
Yeah.
There's power. Listen, the truth is God has a reputation of taking some real losers and making them champions.
Mm. Wow.
So how many of you know that I love horses? 100%? So we love the Kentucky Derby. And we'll set our clock, you know, and try to, it usually starts about 5 in May. I don't remember the date, but, I've always watched racehorses. My uncle raised racehorses, and he didn't live far from us. He just lived blocks from us, and he had a very small farm up in the woods in the end of San Marcos, and he bought and raised colts, or he would have a mare and have it sired, and he would raise racehorses. You know, not on the level of the Kentucky Derby, but he did race. So we're always looking at them. And, but we love the Kentucky Derby. And, do you remember, American Pharoah? Anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. A few of you know who American Pharoah is. Well, he won the coveted Triple Crown in 2015. And, the Triple Crown, this is for those of you that don't know, horse racing. That's when you win the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. Okay, so if you win all three of those, you are a champion. I mean, you are just a real champion. And so American Pharoah is this great thoroughbred, and he won the Triple Crown 2015. Now, what grabs my interest is the heritage, because he is the great-great-great-grandson of Secretariat. Now, see, when I said Secretariat, everybody warmed up, because you know who Secretariat is. And so now he was the winner of the Triple Crown in 1973, before some of you were born, but he was the Triple Crown. Now he was the beloved champion whose records set 50 years ago have never been broken. He is still the fastest. Nobody's just ever beat him, just until this day. They're unbroken. And so he not only did he have this outstanding physique, but also his pedigree. he passed on to a champion bloodline. Now you see where I'm going here. So he passed it on. So American Pharaoh, he is the 12th horse in the bloodline, to win, these derbies and these, contests. And, there have only actually been 13 wins of the Triple Crown. But it's amazing to see how many championships racehorses who are actually from Secretariat's bloodline. In fact, let me tell you this. You probably didn't know this. The first five finishers in the Kentucky Derby and all of the contenders in the Preakness of 2015 were all descendants of Secretariat. All the winners were all... They were all up front in these three races. They took it.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? What a horse. Now, by the way, his descendants won 341 races so far. Now, he had a grandson named Stormcat. And Stormcat was among the preeminent stallions of all times. He's just a great stallion. And he sired 1,400 times.
Wow.
And people paid $500,000 for one quick visit.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. What a busy horse. But here's the thing. Everybody wanted, because greatness was in his blood. Greatness is in his blood. So American Pharaoh, he shares the same characteristics as his famous great-great-great-grandfather. Same characteristics. I just refreshed myself, went back and looked at their pictures. Oh, Secretariat is gorgeous thoroughbred. Well, so was American Pharaoh. Just gorgeous horse. And an observer said this about Secretariat. He said, he can run in the mud or in the dry tracks, on the rail or to the outside, come from behind or stay in the lead. He could do it all, but he's going to win.
Yeah.
He's going to come out in front. He could run anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, generations later, in fact, listen to this, American Pharaoh was not the last. In 2018, Justify won the Triple Crown. That's the 13th horse to win it in years and years and years. There was a real big space between Secretariat and the one before. I think it was Admiral War that won it in like 1937 or something like that. But anyway, so what we see here is that pedigree is important. Pedigree's important.
Mm-hmm.
In horses and dogs, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm going to preach over here. Our first poodle, we didn't know anything about dogs. We just wanted to get one for the kids, you know. He pranced like this major pedigree. He was just, you know, just really cool. And that always impressed me. He just wasn't, you know, he just pranced around. And I thought, there really is something different about a pedigree. Now, if you have a Heinz 57, I'm okay with it. I'm just telling you that you notice something about pedigree dogs and pedigree horses. There's something special. I actually owned a thoroughbred gelding. His name was Toby Joe. He was 16 hands high. He was a beautiful horse. And he was different than our Appaloosas.
Mm-hmm.
He just was different. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Appaloosas. They're pedigrees. The ones we had had papers. They had real long names and such. But I don't know. He just was just outstanding to me. But, of course, he wasn't like American Pharaoh. And I'm still preaching. Praise the Lord, telling you stories. But what I want you to see is Christians have been refathered by God, which puts us in the bloodline of Christ, which makes us pedigrees.
Yes.
Amen.
That's so good.
See, Jesus' pedigree is one of complete victory. Complete victory. Complete victory. That's the bloodline you're in. Complete victory. You're in complete victory. That's your bloodline. You need to grab a hold of that. So, listen, and he won in three places. He won in hell, he won in heaven, and he won in the heart of the believer. He triumphed over hell and the devils. He opened heaven and gives us boldness to come into the presence of God. It reaches into the hearts of believers and removes all guilt, all stain of sin.
Hallelujah.
The blood of Jesus purges our conscience, removes guilt. Amen.
Amen.
Silences the voice of self-condemnation.
Ooh, yeah.
That's what the blood of Jesus will do. Yeah, every time you say, man, I didn't do that right. Man, I'm just a bad person. You need to start casting that out of your thinking. You're not a bad person. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're like, well, I don't come from very good roots. My old pappy was this or da, da, da. You're not in that bloodline. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're in the bloodline of Jesus.
That is right.
You're in the pedigree, victorious bloodline of Jesus. I became God's child. Yeah. So did my upper bloodline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
It supersedes where you came from on earth.
Yeah.
I don't care where you came from or what they all look like. And we've all been around each other and told each other some stories about our families. And yeah, there's some stinker stuff out there. But I'm not from there.
Amen.
I'm free. You're free. Mm-hmm. We're not connected to that. I love my family, but I'm in God's bloodline.
Yes.
I'm a pedigree.
Yeah.
So the funny thing, you know how people do their mouth like a horse? I can't do that. Can y'all do it? This is going out around the world on TV. Okay. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the greatest champion of all time. He overcame adversity. He overcame rejection, betrayal, crucifixion, and death. You are born again with a pedigree that won't quit.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not a failure.
Amen.
Just depend on that blood.
Yes. Amen.
It's that B cell that'll go in there and take care of everything. And it's also the pedigree running through you. It's that protein that'll go in and be like a Pac-Man. Kids, y'all know what Pac-Man is? Okay, they even know. Okay, that's that first game, you know, that we all, yeah. That and Tetris, you know. Ding, 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 ding. Anyway, that Jesus' blood, see that? We're going to be doing communion here in the next couple of weeks. And when we do it together, or you go home and you do it today, you remember Jesus said, when you drink my blood, you're in that bloodline and his blood is healing power. It paid for everything. It heals everything. It changes everything. I'm trying to get you to meditate on the blood. If you're born again and you're an overcomer with that pedigree, then you don't need to be saying, well, I'm only human. Just say, I'm also human. But you're not only human. You know, God has a reputation of taking losers and making them champions. And I want to remind you that this year we have set our sights on the triple. We've set our sights on the triple. And so we're going to win the triple crown this year. We're going to win the triple crown. And then we're going to take our crowns and lay them at the feet of Jesus. We're going to win the triple. We're going to win it today. You want to know why? Because we've already won.
That's right.
So when we hit that first race, You're going to come out on top. You're going to come. I don't care if you run on the rail or you run on the outside. I don't care if you're running in the mud or you're running on a dry track. You're going to win.
That's right.
You're going to win. You're going to win. You're going to win.
Amen, amen, amen.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the track looks like. Let's see. One of those horses came out of the gate last. I can't remember which one it was. I think it is Justify. American Pharoah didn't make it to the, whatever it took to get in the first section of runners or something, but he made it.
Yeah.
And he won. I mean, you're not going to stop our bloodline. Yeah. Nothing's going to stop our bloodline, and nothing's going to stop us from getting the triple crown this year. We have set our goals that we would triple. We would triple in finances, triple in revelation, triple in who we minister to. We're in the triple. Amen. You receive that today? Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to win it. So when you meditate, instead of worrying or being offended, remember the truth that you are a pedigree. You are in the champion bloodline. Jesus did it for you. You can boast and brag about Jesus. And I want to tell you something else too. The Holy Ghost just reminded me of this. I didn't have it in my notes, but I just remembered this. When they did an autopsy on Secretariat, his heart was huge. He had a big heart. Secretariat had a big heart. Can I tell you that Jesus has a big heart? That's a big heart. He's there for us. And we can have a big heart because of what he's done. We can run. We can run the race. We can do it. We can throw off everything that's hindering us and we can run the race. We can have a big heart because he has a big heart. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. You're welcome, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just got thanked for the message. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise you and give you glory. We thank you, Lord, for our champion bloodline. We thank you for the triple crown. We thank you, Lord, that our older brother has given us this place and we give him the glory for it. And we thank you, Lord, that from deep down on in the inside of us, that victory will rise up and we will run the race unhindered. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Praise the Lord.